This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
These guys from afar, is that a guy would leave my team and lead that other team to a deep run in the playoffs. Latrell Sprewell at the Knicks. Now, we know what happened there. Tim Hardaway with the Miami Heat in like the mid-90s. He ended up beating the Knicks in the second round. They ended up losing to the Chicago Bulls.
Right.
Like Hardaway getting traded. Like, of course Hardaway's good. Of course he looks good in a Miami Heat uniform because we were so snake-bitten.
Yep.
If you're a Minnesota fan, of course Andrew Wiggins turns into Superman on another team. Like, there's so many elements to why these two teams, from a fan perspective, just probably despise each other.
Well, and
at least Minnesota despises
the Warriors. It's a great point. It's like, wow, Wiggins was, like, elite for just that stretch. And then he went back to the Andrew Wiggins. Like, really? Really? And they get that.
They get exactly.
They get
exactly
that for that moment. Of course they do, right? And it's so funny, the Jimmy Butler angle and all this. And I think it was really well put by Nick Friedell, who's very tapped in. Nick Friedell joined us in the 7 o'clock hour. We just had Anthony Slater. Find both of those interviews on YouTube with a free Odyssey app. He was saying, like, Jimmy Butler was more frustrated when he was a Minnesota Timberwolf. Not so much with Andrew Wiggins, a little bit, but he never had beef with him or, like a problem with him, like personally. He just saw his greatness and wanted him. He knew the player he could be. And ultimately, I think he did live up to that. If Andrew Wiggins doesn't do anything else in his career, guy was the second best player on a championship team. He has solidified himself as a Warriors legend no matter what. No one could ever take
doubt
that away from him.
No doubt.
But it was the Karl Anthony Towns aspect in all of it, where he's just like, that guy just doesn't work hard enough. You have that much talent. You're like 7 feet tall, cat. You can shoot. You can dribble. You can do everything. You could be one of the greatest players, if not the greatest player in our game today, but you just don't put in the work that you should.
Mm.
And that's what he didn't respect at the end of the day. And I think that's why we were underrating that work ethic and that mentality that Jimmy Butler has brought to this team. And that's trickled down to the Pajemskis of the world, to the Moses Moody's of the world, to the Quentin Posts of the world. That's lit another fire under Draymond Green in a positive way. That's brought something out from Stephen Curry that we haven't seen before. I think defensively, I think you can credit Jimmy Butler a little bit more with how much better Steph has played as a two-way player, because that's what two-way Jimmy is. He can do both things at both ends of the court, and that's what's going to be interesting. I think Verducci called it. I think it's other people texted in on the Boxer and Gerson work injury attorney's text line. Like, Jimmy Butler might be the best player in this series. If he, again, going back to the Michael Jordan, I took this personally. Like, this might be the Jimmy Butler series. We'll see.
Let's say Kuminga has a moment, not a game, but
waiting.
A moment.
We were all Ed.
Well, that was their draft pick.
Yes.
That was their draft pick. I just, there's a lot of back and forth with these two organizations.
Did you guys think on, real quick, because I didn't get a chance to react to yesterday, shout out Bonte for filling in for me, but game 7 when Kuminga was getting some run, we were all like, redemption?
He hit the spin move and then smoked the layup. And I was like, I wanted him to just make a bucket. I really did. And the same with Moody. I was putting my arms around both guys, like, just make a basket. Like, even, okay, Moses Moody's a good example.
Yeah.
You know, he felt like he had played himself off the floor by the end of that Rockets series.
Right.
Well, this is a new series.
It is.
This is a new matchup. I start from scratch. I give him a little bit of run.
Yeah, Quinn Post, another guy, absolutely. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, and now broadcasting live from the Laughing Monk Studios. 3 hours down, one more to go here. Spadoni and Shasky, the morning us. We're talking all about this game all day long right here on 95.7 The Game. It's Warriors. It's T-Wolves. It's Game 1, Western Conference Semis. We were talking about the best player in the series. Let's move past that. So you're taking Steph. I'm taking Anthony Edwards as the best player, but it doesn't come down to the best player. It's the best team. Who's got the best team individual as opposed to the individuals? Second, third, fourth best players. Who does that go to? That's the question for me at 888-957-9570. No, we're just saying, like, that's why I asked the question to Slates. Like, you know, you could say Anthony Edwards is the best, but, like, Jimmy Butler, I think, is the player I'm taking after both those guys.
Okay, do you trust Jimmy Butler over Gobert and
Julius Randle?
And Julius Randle.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so which would you say is the more important player to winning in the playoffs, McDaniel or Gobert? Do you think it oscillates?
Are you not giving me Julius Randle as one? Because I do
Excuse me, Julius Randle,
yes,
not McDaniel.
Because I do think it comes down to Julius Randle for the Minnesota Timberwolves.
So he's your two.
Yes.
Is Draymond more important than Julius Randle? Is Draymond more important to the Warriors than Julius Randle is to Minnesota?
Ooh, it's a great question. I'd say no, but it's very close.
I think
if Julius Randle is playing like he played in that first round series, I do think, and it's not going to happen because it's different circumstances, different team.
He
was really good in that series.
I mean, just look at the numbers. He was really good.
He's been incredible. If he's that again, and I think I know what I'm going to get from Anthony Edwards for the most part, then yeah, I do think the Minnesota Timberwolves are going to win the series. But it's what Jimmy Butler is going to be doing as opposed to what, you know, the Lucas or the Austin Reeves or the LeBrons couldn't do. Let's also keep it a buck. The Warriors are a better defensive team than the Los Angeles Lakers. They just are. Like, so you have to have that ingrained in your DNA. Like, we're giving Rockets, and I know Anthony Slater's giving all the kudos of the world. I think for me, coming out of that series, and I know we've moved on, I have a tremendous amount of respect for what the Rockets did in that series defensively. It was a masterclass. Like, they were doing incredible. And then Stephen Curry, and the greatness of Stephen Curry, is going to shine no matter what. But for the most part, they did all you could do. Like, what more could you have asked that team to do against Stephen Curry in that series? Mm-hmm. But the Warriors were also just as good at times defensively, I felt, especially in that Game 7. They were stifling defensively, and that was Jimmy. That was Steph. That was Draymond. That was Pods at times. Like, it was everyone stepping up. Jimmy Butler. You know, Steve Kerr laughed at one of the games. You know, Jimmy, he set the tone defensively. Well, he did. Or Buddy Hield, I should say, excuse me. But, again, this team against this Minnesota Timberwolves squad is going to be very interesting. And you were saying Draymond Green or Julius Randle. Like, who's more important for their given team? I'm going Julius Randle. But if you wanted to say Draymond Green, I wouldn't be mad at it. I wouldn't. So the second, third, and fourth best players in this series, 888-957-9570, is what we're asking.
So, like, the thing with the Warriors is, like, Steph, Jimmy, Dre, like, those guys are solidified. That fourth guy, who could be as good as the third best player on a given night, it's Pods, it could be Buddy. Some nights it's GP2. You know, I bet Looney throws his name in the ring because, you know, Looney's going to be in the mix here, right?
You're going to need some size. That's a fact. That's why we're talking about Quentin Post. Like, you need, like...
Post has had moments as well.
Yes.
I would argue, though, that their third most important player is Gobert, without a doubt. Because I think he does all of the things for them on both ends of the floor to open the floor up for spot-up shooters and to also allow them a funneler on defense who can be the rim protector that they're looking for. Their entire defense is centered around being able to funnel into that big at the rim.
That's interesting because I feel like, yes, that was the case in their first round series, and this is what happens, right? Some players, you know, they're going to get more highlighted than another series as playoffs progress, right? Like Slater was alluding to, hey, that wasn't a great series for Quentin Post. Maybe he has a good series this one. We'll see. And this is going to be kind of a feeling out game one. And if the Warriors win this game one, then you got to have all the confidence in the world just in this series in general if they were somehow able to take game one tonight. That being said, I'm not sure if Rudy Gobert has to be their third best player overall in this series. I kind of liken it to, you know, how many shots can Jaden McDaniels knock down in key moments? Because he's going to...
Can I restate it?
Sure.
Forget third best player. I think he's their third most important player.
And
the reason why I say that is if he gets fouled out of the game, meaning he's in foul trouble and he's off the floor, if he, for whatever reason, cannot defend with 5 minutes to go because we run him off the floor, I think they're in big trouble.
And it's going to be interesting, too. Are they going to use the Houston Rockets strategy? Not like early on, but are they going to do what the Rockets were doing, Draymond, putting a 6-foot Fred VanVleet on him. Are they going to try to hide a Mike Conley on him? I got Mike Conley. How old? He's like as old as Steph, right? He's 37.
He's
like,
hit some timely buckets for them.
No, he's, hey, Mike Conley
will hit that corner three.
Guy, I want to say, because I do think people were saying he was one of the most overrated point guards of all time.
He's just made so much
money. He has made money, but you know what? He's been pretty good. Like, he's been a pretty good point guard for most of his time. I think we forget how good those Grizzlies teams actually were when it was him, Gasol, Randolph. Like, they were fun. Tony Allen, like, they were a really good team.
No, they were really good. But, like, if we were listing point guards of the era, sure, you'd probably name 7 or 8 before you get to him.
But I think that speaks to just how good this era was when it came to point guards. That Mike Conley was an afterthought in those.
He's made $285 million in his career.
Yes, he's made a lot of money. God, it must be nice, too.
$285 million in his career.
It's pretty insane, right? It's pretty insane.
Wow.
Alex, Atlanta, wants to join in the conversation. 888-957-9570 before we hit this break.
What I would do,
Alex,
with a million of them.
What are your thoughts on this series starting tonight? Game one in Minnesota. Good morning.
Well, listen, look, game one, the biggest thing I'm going to be looking for is how both teams are shooting from the perimeter. I mean, Minnesota has been, aside from Julius Randle, has actually been shooting pretty poorly from three. I mean, Dante DiVincenzo has been ice cold from deep. So is Mike Conley. And Minnesota was one of the top five teams in the league during the course of the season in terms of three-point shooting. We know the Warriors typically tend to struggle a bit with perimeter defense. I mean, they're at the bottom half of the league when it comes to opponents' three-point percentage. But another big thing I'm looking for is, can you slow down that supporting cast of Minnesota? I think this is one of those series where you have to accept that, hey, Anthony Edwards is going to get his. He's going to average about anywhere from, you know, 27 to 30 a night. But can you slow down a Julius Randle who's ramped up his scoring this postseason? Can you slow down Jaden McDaniels? Can you make sure that, you know, guys like Naz Reid, Dante DiVincenzo, Mike Conley don't get hot? And at the same time, if you're the Warriors, can you crash the boards better on both sides of the floor? Can you limit those second chance points? Because that was a big thing that was hurting them against the Houston Rockets. It ended up with them committing a lot of fouls, too, when they were trying to fight for those rebounds. And Minnesota is a much better free-throw shooting team than the Rockets were, and that could be something that turns the tide in this series.
That's Alex in Atlanta. The night of numbers is always appreciated here on The Morning Roast. We're up against it. We got one more segment coming on back. We're going to talk about Game 1 tonight. Speak now. Forever hold your peace about this series. 888-957-9570. I'm not allowing any more predictions after Game 1. Nope, not allowed. So you got to speak now. It's winning the series, huh? What's it going to be? 888-957-9570 is the number. It's Spadoni, it's Chasky, and it's brought to you by Life Source Water System.
You know, they got KD, but we got Jaden McDaniels.
Numbers are numbers, and numbers are numbers.
On my podcast, Aspire With Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire With Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Who needs to step up the most tonight for you? I'm not like giving you the Steph. I'm not giving you the Jimmy, the Anthony Edwards. No. It's the unsung heroes, because the unsung hero, or he wasn't the unsung hero after the game, he was just the hero, was Buddy Hield. Buddy Hield in Game 7, Game 7 Buddy will be remembered forever. I don't care what takes place in this series. He solidified himself as a warrior, a Golden State
Anything
warrior.
Anything from here is gravy.
Great, absolutely. He saved your skin in Game 7. He was incredible. How many points in that first half? 22? 20? What was it? God, incredible. Buddy Hield. Can he do it again tonight? Who else needs to... God, wouldn't it be nice to have a Brandon Pajemski game tonight in Game 1? Wouldn't that just calm all the nerves? Like, wow, Pods, you know what? To hell, what happens the rest of the series? We learned that Pods was here to play in Game 1, and that's going to be something that you could take from it. And Anthony Slater said it best. Like, hey, you might not win tonight for the Warriors, and it's not going to be like a death blow or a death nail, but you could take away some good things potentially in the series, even if you don't win. And I know that's not the mentality you want, but like, there is something like, hey, if you get some Quentin Post minutes and he finds his shot, if Moses Moody finds his shot in this game and he looks good and efficient, hey, that would be something. Feeling hell of a lot better.
You can't
in this
pick
series.
All of them.
No,
you got to pick one.
I'm giving you options right there. I'm taking Brandon Pajemski. That's how I think.
You're taking Pods.
I think Pods is going to step up tonight.
See, I'm going to take Moses Moody, and the reason why I'm taking Moses Moody is because he gets his shot off, so he's going to get his 4, 5, 6, 7 attempts at minimum. And he's going to play a lot of defense on Ant Edwards, especially if GP2 is unavailable. So I think Moses Moody is a guy. Boy, wouldn't it be great if Moses Moody found a way to just find his shot in this series?
Be great.
Wouldn't that just change things?
Yes, it would. 888-957-9570. Who do you need to step up the most tonight?
Is it
Dub Nation?
Post?
Game one. Is it Moody? Is it Post? Is it Pods? I'm taking Pods. Shasky's taking Moody. Who you taking tonight? Again, coverage starting at 5:30 at Warriors Live, 6:30 tip. And in the meantime, before you're diving into that game and getting the pregame coverage, you could also be subscribed to the Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys podcast and get caught up on all things San Francisco Giants that has taken place. Sam Lubin, Joe Shasky, and occasionally Steven Rizzotto have the best Giants talk in the world. And make sure you are subscribed today and hear all about Willy Adames breaking out of his early season slump, although a stinker of a loss yesterday.
Can I ask a legitimate old guy question to the younger people on this team that we've got here?
Sure.
All right, guys. I don't get something. It's fashion related.
Oh.
Okay? And
you
maybe I'm not supposed
jacket.
To.
You look in that jacket.
Well, I'm of course I do. But like, let me just like, some styles never go out. The city never goes out of style, the city jacket that I'm wearing.
City never sleeps.
I don't get the upside down logo hat. Am I missing something?
It's definitely within the younger demographic. So the gen, I don't know, what is it, XYZ, LMNOP, I don't know what we're on yet. But like this current generation, the 18, 25-year-olds, they love it. It's not for me.
Am I missing what it's supposed to represent?
Well, no. Maybe it's like counterculture or something, putting the world upside down, putting the world on its head.
Okay.
I don't know.
Is that what it
is? I stopped wearing hats in high school, Joe. So there that just goes. I used to wear them tilted on the side. I used to be very like hip.
Well, I'm a hat aficionado.
I know. You wear hats all the time.
Yeah.
I don't do that. So I'm not sure. But I would say it's definitely something counterculture because that's what...
Carter's ready. He's shaking his head. Carter, what is it?
It's just a trend, I think, and it's just so weird and lame.
Okay.
Well, we had like the big hat trend too, and
that was not a trend. That was pretty foolish.
I thought you were going Met Gala on me and not getting what the Met Gala is because that's like the big fashion, all like the sports.
A lot of upside down hats at the Met Gala.
Yeah, a lot of upside down.
Was there?
No, there wasn't. He's just kidding.
Well, I see it even in golf. I see a lot of golf guys are now wearing like the club or whatever that they're representing or that they're out of. The logo's upside down. I don't get it. I never really understood stickers on the front of the hat or on the bottom of the hat.
I
always thought that was a pretty odd look as
well. Some people are like leaving the tags on there too. At times, like, what are we doing?
I'm going to return this later.
You got to keep the sticker on the bottom just because it marks that it's an official MLB hat.
And you can showcase how big your head is too.
Shout out Bruce Bochy. Let's go to Sion in Brooklyn. He wants to talk about this game tonight. 888-957-9570. Sion, good morning. What you got on tonight's game?
Good morning, man. Well, I got a few things I wanted to address. So I think Jimmy and Draymond are the two best players after Steph and Ant. That's a fact.
Mm.
We know what Jimmy can do, but Draymond's defense alone makes him the fourth best player in the series. Right?
Right.
Now, I'm a big Kuminga believer, and I feel like he could play a big role in this series. Because earlier in this season, before we got Jimmy, we beat the Wolves 3 times, and Kuminga did a great job on Julius Randle. Let's not discredit him. And two more things before I go. We all know Jimmy is Steph's Robin, even though it's more like a Superman Batman thing.
Mm.
I feel like it's the same thing on the defensive end. Draymond is Superman. Jimmy is Batman. There was this one play in Game 7 when Jimmy switched on to Fred VanVleet and Draymond was on Sengun, and they were able to neutralize that pick and roll. And even though it was just one play, it was beautiful to see. Can't wait to see more of that tonight.
Hey, you're from New York?
And also,
what borough?
Brooklyn. Yeah, I'm from New York. Yeah, I'm from New York.
What borough?
I just said he's called in from Brooklyn.
Oh, Brooklyn. I'm sorry. Mom, I apologize.
Brooklyn Zoo, baby. Let's go.
Are the upside down logo hats in or out to you?
I'm not really a hat guy.
Yeah, there you go. He's got the Sion's probably got the flow. He's feeling
great
it.
Great minds think alike.
Yeah, that's a Warriors fan out in Brooklyn. Love that.
There's something about that New York. Is it a brogue? I don't even know the accent, if you will.
It's called an accent.
I think it's like overseas. You'll say about the Irish, they have a brogue when they talk.
It's an accent. What we call it here.
There's something about it. I love
it's great. And each borough is different. There's like a Long Island accent. There's a Brooklyn accent. There's a Bronx accent. There is, but there's not a Manhattan accent. accent, it would sound just like what we're talking about right now. A Northern California accent, if you will. Although when we travel, I'm sure you've gotten this a lot. Maybe not us, because we're big sports heads. But people seem to think we talk very slow when we go other places.
Everyone thinks that I was from
don't get that, yeah. So but like if Carter, if you will, if he travels and you're like in the East Coast, why do you speak so slowly? I was like, you mean like normal? Like, yeah, that's what we do. So
I've gotten a lot of, are you from Hell's Kitchen? It's like on the West Coast. Hell yeah, that's what Excelsior is.
Oh, Gordon
Hell's
Ramsay.
Kitchen in San Francisco, baby. Let's go.
There you go. 888-957-9570.
Gordon Ramsay out here.
Do you agree? Thank you. Do you agree with what Sion had to say right there? The Warriors have like three of the four best players in this series.
I think we're sleeping on the impact of Randall and Gobert. And then I want to see, like, Conley could be an X factor if he's hitting from the outside.
Mm.
You know, he is a very timely player. He's a smart player. He's going to stand on that perimeter and hit a lot of clutch threes late in the shot clock. That's kind of what Fred VanVleet did.
Right. Well, who was it talking about? It was one of the callers. It might have been Sion. Like, you know, it might have been Alex in Atlanta, actually. He's like, well, you know, Minnesota hasn't been very consistent shooting the ball beyond the arc. I was like, well, neither was Fred VanVleet heading into the series. And then as the series went on, Kai was unstoppable the last few games. You couldn't stop him at all.
It's a great point.
Right? So someone we're not talking about might step up in the series. And you know what? It might be both ends, right? We're talking about the Warriors and we're talking about the Minnesota. Someone's going to come out of the series on both sides where we both believe like, wow, I just garnered a whole new respect for that player.
I feel like Gobert is a guy that we dismiss, and I just think he's going to be better than... I'm not saying everyone's dismissing him.
I just don't know what to make of him in this series, because against the Lakers... Like, they didn't have a big to stop him. Like, Jackson Hayes, they didn't even play Jackson Hayes.
But they also didn't isolate him in the pick and roll enough.
They didn't. And I think that showed J.J. Redick as a rookie head coach. He was a little inexperienced. I think it showed his inexperience a lot in that series.
LeBron had six post-ups in that whole series.
Right.
Six post-ups.
Should have had more.
But why is that? Because they didn't get Gobert out on the perimeter and expose him. He was able to camp out, and so LeBron's not going to post up. And so that's why, to me, getting Gobert out of the paint opens the paint up for Jimmy Butler.
Right. 888-957-9570 is the number. And speaking of the guy that we're talking about all series, he's going to be the talk of the town. It's going to be Steph and this guy, Anthony Edwards. Is there any secret, Steve Kerr, as he's speaking to the media yesterday, on slowing down Anthony Edwards? Do you have any insight on that, having coached him for Team USA?
The main insight I have is that he's really damn good. So I don't know how that helps us prepare. But Ant is an amazing player. I love his energy. I love his infectious enthusiasm for the game. He was amazing to coach. And, you know, there's a reason the Wolves are where they are now. You know, it's directly, they've done a great job organizationally and put together a really good roster. Chris has done a fantastic job as coach, but you know they are where they are because Ant is a superstar, and you have to have a guy like that to build a great team, and he's the reason they are where they are.
And that's Steve Kerr, head coach of your Golden State Warriors. And again, I ask the question, when it comes into the series, we don't talk about this enough, I don't think, especially when it comes to basketball, because it's player driven. There's five players on each side. It's not like Major League Baseball. It's not like the NFL. But the coaching matchups matter to me. And I thought Chris Finch was the better coach in round one over J.J. Redick in the Los Angeles Lakers. I think J.J. Redick did some things and he got very stubborn and he leans on his stubbornness and he's a Duke guy and, you know, he thinks he's smarter than you and whatever, what have you. And I thought he overall as a rookie head coach throughout the season, he was pretty good. And he's just easy to poke fun at because he just gets so upset and so angry at, right, and so holier than thou. Just getting snippy to the media. But him playing all of his starters in that second half cost him that series. If they were going to get back into that series, they were gassed after it, and they were gassed in that final game five, and Minnesota ended up winning it. I don't think Chris Finch is as good as a head coach as Ime Udoka is.
I think Chris Finch is good.
He is, but I actually come away from that series, and as much as we like to like harp on, I know like Ime Udoka, how you feel about him toting that line, like stepping out on the court, all that stuff. I think he's a really good head coach.
I
think his players play really hard for him, and I think the X's and O's and what he did in that series, I think that is as much as that Houston Rockets team could have pushed the Golden State Warriors. I don't think the Houston Rockets could have won that series just because I just don't think they have the offense at the end of the day.
Well, I think Ime's blind spot was if looking back on it, him not playing Jabari Smith because he doesn't think he's tough enough, that's a blind spot. Not every player on the team.
Did he say that?
That's the word that was coming out of the series. That Bonte was talking about it yesterday, that he had talked to some people with Houston, and the word is that Ime doesn't think that Jabari, and again, this is just what the rumor
that's
was.
Wild.
Well, but if you look at the guys that he really loves, they play a certain kind of way. And it's the way he wants you to play, which is tough and through you. And so every coach has blind spots. You can make an argument. One of Steve's blind spots these last years is his inability to play a big bruiser, right?
Yeah. No, it's a good point.
So every coach is going to have blind spots. No one is perfect. But I would say that that's an area where, no, I think you needed a little more of that finesse scoring than you're giving credit to.
So heading into this matchup, though, like you look at the remaining head coaches in the Western Conference, like these are the guys probably that you're taking. You're talking about an interim yesterday, by the way, and David Adelman, who's looking all of a sudden, maybe that was the smart move for the Nuggets. Maybe it was.
That team is so...
veteran lady.
The chemistry, yeah. Year over year, they feel pretty, you know, they can kind of control themselves, essentially, but I get where you're going.
And then Mark Daigneault over with Oklahoma City Thunder.
Mark Daigneault could walk in here, shake our hands, and tell us who he was.
Yeah, you wouldn't have known.
Okay.
Well, I thought he showed his greenness a little bit yesterday. I know he was in the Western Conference semis last year. This is about as far as he's gone. But they were doing, you know, up three foul game with like 10, 12 seconds to go. I was like, you guys got to let them milk the clock a little bit more before you're fouling. It was very odd what they were doing towards that. The Oklahoma City Thunder jobbed that game more than the Denver Nuggets won it. I felt like I was like, what are you doing? Like Caruso fouling Joker and then, you know, fouling Gordon. It was just very odd, that whole the whole ending of that game yesterday. So the coaching decisions and X's and O's in this series is going to be very fascinating, that because I think that was a big takeaway from me in that Rocket series, Steve Kerr and Ime Udoka, and how's Chris Finch going to fit into all that in this one? Chris Finch.
If Anthony Edwards has an off game, that is the game you absolutely have to steal.
Mm.
Right? And so I'm looking at this and I'm saying, like, can I throw the kitchen sink at him in game one or game two to just throw them off?
Right.
And really stymie them.
Yep.
I don't even know if it's possible, because he does get to the free throw line, because he is so athletic, because when they get out in transition, he is a dynamic finisher. It feels like he settles for too many three pointers.
Right.
If they can get one of these first two games to be an off night for Anthony Edwards, boy, I would love their chances to steal one in Minnesota. Well,
and I actually view him like I kind of viewed Jalen Brunson yesterday, who wasn't have the greatest game. But then the fourth quarter happened, and then who was taking over the game and hitting the big shots?
You have to close, yes.
Like who was
There's
in the,
no doubt.
And that's the player that Anthony no Edwards doubt. Is. And I was watching the game, I think it was at the Old Ship, or as Steiny Goo called the cafeteria. What was it, game?
I still don't understand that.
Yeah,
joke.
I know, it's funny. I think it was game four, and it was in Minnesota, and it was the Lakers kind of like coming back, and they were in charge of that game. And then Anthony Edwards wasn't doing a whole hell of a lot until he had the big buckets and get into the line and get into the free throw line, putting his head down. And that's another aspect of this, getting to the free throw line. That was what the Rockets were doing ad nauseum. You can't let that happen with the Minnesota Timberwolves. I know they're a much better shooting team.
You brought up the coaching factor. Did anyone open that Reddit post that I sent to the group thread?
No.
Nobody
Reddit
opened it.
Reddit posts are scary, so I don't know. Yeah.
It's a video of Jimmy Butler basically coaching everyone. It was from the NBC broadcast. I don't know which one everyone watched.
I did see that one.
Sent it.
Okay, so was that fascinating to you guys? It was Jimmy Butler basically... And he wasn't yelling at Pods. He was talking to Pods, like, obviously demonstratively and energetically was the way I would probably put it, not demonstratively. And he's like coaching him up, I thought. That's the way I viewed it. And then he turned to Steph and Draymond as Steve Kerr's talking. Steve Kerr kind of stops talking, and Jimmy's like directing everything that they're going to do. It was everything that I feel like this team has needed, which is a different voice outside of the main three that have been talking for this team ad nauseum, and it's really maybe the only guy in the league that all those three guys would stop and listen to in that moment, in that game, on the road, game seven. I thought the video was, you see it right there.
I just watched
Describe
the whole thing.
Describe it.
So it was during a timeout or doing a stoppage of play, and it was Jimmy Butler on the sideline coaching up Brandon Podziemski, and Steve Kerr is kind of just watching around, walking around. He's kind of like walked in between the guys and just let him do his thing. And then all of a sudden, after he's talking to Pods, he's talking to all the guys on the bench, as you were saying. Steph, Jimmy, Draymond,
right?
Everyone. And he was just trying to get them all locked in and tell them what they need to do. It looked like he was like firing them up. Like,
agreed.
Guys, this is it. This is the run. Like, this is what we got to do. This, that, and the other. And it was so refreshing to watch, because when we talk playoff Jimmy, that's what we're talking about.
Yes.
We're talking about the coach on the sideline, the guy that is a two-way player that knows the game. Talking about high IQ, I think coming away from that series, the IQ of Jimmy Butler is something that cannot be understated.
How many mistakes did he make?
Oh, dude, how many turnovers do you have in the series? Like one or two?
I mean, it's not many.
Didn't have any.
Not many.
That's the guy you want with the game on the line. You want him in your huddle. Absolutely. And oh, by the way, yeah, then you got Steph Curry out there hitting the shots. Yeah, I feel whole of a hell of a lot better. And talking about team IQ at the end of the day, when it comes to the combination of Draymond and Jimmy, I do think this is the team that has the better team IQ overall, over Anthony Edwards, over Julius Randle, over Mike Conley.
They've got the experience.
They have the experience factor here. Not to say that the Wolves don't have experience.
No, again, they do.
They were in the Western Conference Finals last year.
Gobert's been there with the Jazz.
Yes.
Conley's been there with the Grizzlies prior. Yep. Like these guys have a lot of runway in the playoffs.
Yes, absolutely.
And Anthony Edwards, for as young as he is sneaky, got a lot of experience too.
Yep.
And you can't tell me, I know he didn't play a lot, you can't tell me that the Olympics didn't have a huge impact on his trajectory.
And I'll go prior to that, was that first round series when the Nuggets ended up winning the entire thing. The Wolves gave him a hell of a first round matchup. And Anthony Edwards, I came away from him saying, oh yeah, he's coming. He's going to be a big boy.
We all acknowledge
that. Yes.
And there's no doubt.
He was, what, 20 years old at the time? It was something incredible.
Well, and if he watched that game closely in game seven, I think the recipe is for him. Every three-point shot that you kind of settle for, you're actually giving the Warriors a win. Mm. You need to attack the rim like Amen Thompson did and get at the hoop.
Right.
If I was Chris Finch talking to Anthony Edwards, I'd be like, you see what he's doing? You can do that.
And actually, I was watching Shai Gilgeous-Alexander yesterday with the Oklahoma City Thunder. I was like, man, he could do that even more if he wants to. Just keep attacking. Now, not to say that Aaron Gordon's no slouch and Jokic is a big body, but you want to get those guys in foul trouble. Mm. You want to keep going at them and at them. And I do think, again, as we talk about the Warriors as a perimeter shooting team, and obviously the Rockets are a big defensive just juggernaut, I still think you got to attack them at the rim and keep them honest at times. Go at them at the rim. And Jimmy Butler in Game 7, I mean, they were doing that at times. Jan is in Mountain View, wants to join the conversation in regards to Steve Kerr. Jan, good morning.
Good morning. And you missed my big speech yesterday with Starnie and Guru.
Oh.
But I'll tell you something. Everybody's talking about, who's the best player? Well, I'll tell you who the best coach is, and that's Steve Kerr. Don't forget that he's led us to four championships, and he's the one that put Buddy Hield in there when everybody else was doubting him. And, boy, I like that call that Bonte had unexpectedly when Buddy Hield called in and did the bow, bow, bow. And Kerr is also the one that figured out that zone. I take Buddy Hield as the zone killer. And they want to play zone. We're going to be ready for him. And I want Buddy Hield after every game to do the bow, bow, bow if we end up winning that game. Because, this is the new night for me.
Bow, bow, bow. There you go. That is Jan in Mountain View. Hell of an interview you guys had yesterday with Buddy Hield, by the way.
Everybody keeps talking about Joe Ingles, whether it's online or the text. He didn't even play in the last series. I don't see him anywhere in this last series.
He's 1,000 years old.
No, but like, was he even on their active roster?
No, he's there. He's there. He was like DNP'd a bunch, I think.
Well, that's my point. He has no recorded statistics.
His biggest role has been playing decoy as Luka in practice.
Are you serious?
Yeah, seriously.
Oh, my God.
So is he on their active playoff roster?
Yes, he is. He is there. Yes.
He is active. Okay, that's why I'm asking.
And just, again, Priest said it best.
He's too old.
He is too old. But I do love me some Joe Ingles. There was actually
a moment in time when he was with the Jazz and he took him to the Warriors.
He did. Hey, he's that old guy at the Y, right?
It was just 2021. I remember, like, we need a Joe Ingles.
That's Pat Spencer in 10 years, by the way. It's Joe Ingles. That's the same player. I kind of liken him too. You guys laugh, but that was...
Stop it.
Spencer's way more
athletic. No, I see it.
No, but you kind of see what I'm getting at here.
Don't ever disrespect Pat Spencer's lacrosse athleticism and toughness with Joe Ingles.
Well, relax on...
His fitness levels through the roof.
Talking about accolades, Joe Ingles has done a lot more than Pat Spencer. Hey, does Pat Spencer get run in this series? Jasky, is that a bad sign if Pat Spencer plays tonight?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
It means the Warriors are blowing him out.
I want him to headbutt somebody tonight.
Gobert?
That's a joke.
I want him to headbutt someone tonight. Really set the tone. I do, and we got 10 minutes left here. I know you're saying you think this series is going to get chippy. I don't know if it's going to get as chippy as that Rockets series. I don't know. Like, just baked into the equation. Like,
every series Draymond's in, he's going to find somebody to get into it with. Who are we kidding?
There's no Dylan Brooks on this team, though. Like, that's the thing. Dylan Brooks isn't on this team. He's not. Is Anthony Edwards going to be like Dylan Brooks? I don't think so. He's not that guy.
No, it's not Anthony Edwards. It's the others.
Like, who? Who's like Jaden McDaniels?
Gobert! Look, Julius Randle! Draymond and Julius have gone, it's not even close to the Gobert thing, but they've gone back and forth. And Anthony Edwards and Draymond, there's a lot of video circulating online of the two of them during a free throw situation, like going at each other. I mean, it is not suitable for work.
Thank you. Draymond Green, by the way, the whole saga, and we've kind of touched on it, but.
And don't forget, Draymond versus the officials is an ongoing theme.
Draymond versus
the greatest rivalry in sports. Red Sox, Yankees, Duke, North Carolina, Draymond and all officials.
Well, that's another aspect of all this, is the way that they guarded Stephen Curry, the Houston Rockets. I don't anticipate that to be the same level of intensity. Maybe they just don't have the player personnel, and that's just not their style, too. They're going to play hard, and then the Timberwolves are no slouches defensively. I just don't think they're on the level of a Houston Rockets, so I don't think it's going to be as physical. Not saying it's not going to be, but the way that they're guarding Steph in particular, I just don't see them hounding him as much. So I do think Steph overall should have a better series, a more consistent series. But conversely, Anthony Sater brought it up. Like, Anthony Edwards is not Jalen Green. Like, Anthony Edwards is going to knock down his shots. He's not going to be afraid of the moment.
Like, and he likes to talk a lot.
He does. And that was the biggest difference. Shout out Adam Wexler a couple weeks ago, who was the pre- and post-game on the radio side for the Houston Rockets. He was like, yeah, the series is going to come down to Jalen Green, whether or not he can score. Kind of did. Like, he kind of did. Like, had Jalen Green scored in any other game other than game two, maybe the Rockets do win that series. He just couldn't score. That's not going to be the case with Minnesota. They're going to be able to score at times just because of the greatness that is Anthony Edwards and Julius Randle. You got to think is going to have some games there that he's going to get his. It's going to come down to the other guys, as it always does. If I can, you know, if those two guys can do it, it's what is Jaden McDaniels doing? What is Naz Reid doing?
Naz Reid is probably the most scary guy off their bench, and without a doubt.
Well, yes, but also I'd say Nikhil Alexander-Walker. If he's hitting the three-point ball, that's a problem.
But here's the thing with him. Like,
he's streaky, too.
That's what I was going to say. Like, streaky. I can see him being one of two things, either a thorn in our side or unplayable. Like, that's how it is when you're playing against, Steph. There are some guys that, like, oh, I'm going to guard Steph over the top, and then they're just jumping all over the place. And, you know, Steph is big on the misdirection.
Right.
There are some guys that play themselves off the floor.
Right. No,
and
for
that,
sure.
Trust me, the Warrior fans know that better than anyone.
And speaking about this series, Nick Friedell joined us last out. 2 hours ago, actually. That was back in 7 o'clock. The show's flown by. He is our Odyssey NBA insider, and he said he is not betting against Stephen Curry when it comes to this series.
I don't care how many people pick Minnesota. I'm not betting against Steph Curry. I'm just not doing it. And I know there are a lot of angles, and the soap opera is there. And certainly with Jimmy going back to Minneapolis, you know, they're going to be all over him, and they just cannot stand Draymond. There's a lot of fun stuff for fans to get into.
So he's not going against Stephen Curry in this series. He says it's going to go seven. He likes the Warriors. We had Anthony Slater on, and he likes the T-Wolves in seven, if he had to do it. Who do you like, Joe? I'm asking you right now.
I started this morning with Wolves and Six.
You did. You're like, I'm leaning Wolves and Six. I'm not going to hold you to it because you said you were leaning that way.
I'm taking Warriors in two. That was a joke.
Oh, my
God. No, I'm joking. No, honestly.
You know, they got KD, but we got Jaden McDaniels.
Thank you. Scat that down.
I'm probably closer to Warriors in seven, Warriors in six.
Wow.
But I think this is just a straight-up toss-up. I really do. I think this is a straight-up toss-up. And I know I'm not trying to do the Humpty Dumpty. You know I love giving strong opinions. Sure. I love giving you like exactly how I feel. That I really believe that I have very little feel for this matchup because both these teams are dramatically different than what I've seen. Like the Rockets series, I got a couple of matchups with the Rockets to kind of get a feel for who they were. Minnesota's totally different than what they were. Like at the beginning of the year, I was like, Julius Randle trade was horrible. Horrible. He's a ball stopper. It's not going to work.
Yep.
And then as I've watched them more and more and more, I'm like, nah. He really fits in, and he really impressed me against the Lakers. And then, like, the Warriors team is so dramatically different. The last game, and Slater brought it up, we talked about it yesterday. The last time they played against each other, JK was out, Guy Santo started.
It was just so different. So different.
I kind of got to see a couple games. I'm leaning Dubs in seven.
I like the Warriors.
I think it's a toss-up.
I like the Warriors in six. I think they split.
Six?
Yes, I think both these teams split.
Why are you so confident?
Overall, I don't trust anyone outright on the Minnesota Timberwolves outside of Anthony Edwards. And really, my trust level with Julius Randle still. I got to see him do it again. I do.
Really? He's had some bad playoff moments prior to this last series.
Really? Julius Randle, the second best player on a team that's going to the Western Conference Finals? I need to see it.
He's had some great seasons.
He's had some great seasons, but he's a good regular season player for the most part. And I know when he gets frustrated, what does he do? He pouts on the court.
Takes bad shots,
and he can be a malcontent on the bench. Like, that is first team all bad body language. And with certain players, I don't think it gets to him. Like, you were talking about Andrew Wiggins. I was like, does that guy face it? Like, he's the same player all the time. He's just there. Brandon Bell, one people want to bring up. No, Julius Randle will just be grumpy. I don't think I've seen the guy smile his entire life, ever. He just plays like an angry person all the time.
Really?
And he manifests. Yes. Yeah. I've watched him in his career.
I'll take your word for that.
When it comes to the Lakers, when it comes to the Pelicans, when it comes to the Knicks, like, he is a malcontent when things aren't going his way. And I think that could negatively impact a team like, and a younger team still, like the Minnesota Timberwolves.
I'm going to circle Gobert over and over because to me, like, I really do believe Gobert is the key to the series for both the Warriors and Minnesota. Can he stay on the floor? Now, I would hack a Gobert him. Like, that's what I would do. He's a terrible free throw shooter. I would run pick and rolls at him all day and see if he could defend without fouling. I would try to get him in as much action as possible.
Yeah.
But if I'm Minnesota, there is an element that we haven't even brought up yet, which is, what if I sacrificed Gobert getting kicked out for Draymond, getting under Draymond's skin? Would Minnesota take that sacrifice?
Wow.
Hypothetically.
They'll never
admit it out loud.
That's an Ime Udoka line of thought, like thinking that I would agree with. I don't think Chris Finch is built that way.
Okay.
I don't. Not to say that one coach is better than the other, but Ime Udoka, like, that is something. He was literally on the court saying, you're going to let him get away with that? You're going to play? That's a technical issue out of the game. Like, that is the Ime Udoka, like, yeah, guys, you need to get under Draymond Green's skin. I'm coaching you to do that. Do anything and everything to get under skin. Same with Steph. Same with Jimmy. They were telling Dylan Brooks, not that you need to tell Dylan Brooks to do that. He'll do it already. Not that you need an excuse from the head coach, but Fred VanVleet's of the world. The Amen Thompson screaming in Steph's face. Jalen Green, right? By the way, was that game 6 or 7? It's all a blur for me now. The Draymond within the first few minutes, that was game 6?
Game 6 when he
smacked Jalen Green in the head. I was like, how is he not ejected? I thought he was going to be ejected
at
that.
And then he was irate for the next, like, 3 minutes. And then the best. Only him. The foul was on VanVleet, and he was passing, and somehow, like, punch slapped him in the face and got a flagrant. He's got to be the only player in the history of the game who... there's a foul called on the defense while he's the offense, and he walks away, even though there's a foul, with a flagrant. He's got to be the only player. And then Steve Kerr's right. He's like, well, Draymond's kind of a flailer. And I couldn't argue it.
Oh, my God. Hold on. We got a bunch of Draymond Green sound cuts because we grabbed them. We just got to go to it. Draymond Green roasting Gobert for crying for not making an All-Star. I'm just going to be playing. I just want to play him.
And you have sort of
one thing I can assure you, if I didn't make it this year, I wasn't going to cry. I can 100% assure you that. It has to be Rudy. I mean, the man cried on national television when he didn't make the All-Star team. Thank God he's made the next three.
Stop it, Dre. Leave that man alone.
I mean, you can't cry, Chuck. I said it then. I'm going to say it now. I got killed on Twitter then. I'll probably get killed today.
No,
but you can't cry.
No, you're right.
Come on.
You're right.
Chris, sound courtesy of NBA on TNT.
To the next one. When you say, like, Gobert at a podium, the first thing I think of is him touching all the microphones.
God. And then the world...
Me and Gobert, we were doing the show.
Yeah, it was.
We were doing the show that night, and, like, the world was, like, slowly falling apart, and we're in the studio. We have no idea.
I had a live Tim Roy. It was Beyond the Arc at the time, and Tim Roy was live. Like,
and we
came on after you guys, and we were talking about everything. Like, and Tim Roy was talking about, you know, the latest from around the world in COVID. Tom Hanks is isolated in Australia with
COVID.
We can
laugh now.
Yeah, we can laugh
now. Colbert was, like, touching the microphones.
He shut down the NBA.
He did. He touched everything. It was insane.
Stopped everyone from scoring.
And then laughed at everyone.
And then he was an idiot. And then we're all laughing at him.
He was an idiot.
He was stupid.
Dude, can he even still smell? Remember he lost his sense of smell for, like, ever?
I did too. I had the long COVID symptoms. Like, really? I couldn't smell with this honker too. Like, I still couldn't smell for 6 months.
It was
crazy. Stop. Draymond Green, there's this one too.
I lost the sense of smell.
I did. There's no smell in my headphones.
It was cut with bleach.
No comment on Rudy Gobert. Does this really say 16 seconds of silence? This is just built in. Not great for radio, but maybe it is.
Let me hear it.
And you have sort of a history with Rudy Gobert. Did you see his comments after the whole tussle? And what do you think about what he said, if he did?
I mean, it's 2023. You see everything these days. What's my comment about what he said?
Just thinking a little bit. Like the taps on the mic.
No comment is a comment, right? All right, cool.
Hey, the fact that like the media, no one just said anything. They're just letting it breathe. That was just the best part. Fast Five.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
I'm going to go first here. My final thoughts. COVID. I had every emotion during COVID. Thanks. No, I had every emotion during COVID.
We all did.
We did the full 360. I went from one end all the way around back to the other. Probably more like a 450? I don't even know what they are.
1080?
540 or 1080, whatever. Yeah. Well, I've done it all. Point being...
Great game, by the way.
Point being is that I'm glad that I'm able to... And I know a lot of people passed away, so I don't want to make it a negative thing. But going back to some of the absurdities that didn't make any sense, like... You can go outside, you can take your mask off and eat indoors, but then put the mask back on. Like, there was just so many things that we look back on that if you just took your step back, didn't make a lot of sense.
No, the best part about COVID is everyone installed hand sanitizer, like things everywhere, like the little ones on the sensor. They never refill them anymore.
Wherever I'm at,
they never refill the hand sanitizer.
We don't need them anymore. We're all healthy now.
It's stupid.
Dude, I had a cousin. Who would wipe down all of the groceries that get delivered. And I said, hey, bro, you're doing too much.
Yeah.
And I was like, I had appropriate fear and everything. Like, bro, you're doing way too much.
Right. No.
But there's like before COVID, and then there's after COVID. And I feel like life will never be the same.
Never. And it's still not the same, unfortunately. Who got back there? Who wants to join us? Carter, Sam?
I'll go first. If we're going to take picks in this series, I think it's... if you're the Timberwolves, I think you want... If you're the Timberwolves, you want to end this series in five games because that break between five and six, I think, very much favors the Warriors there. And the Warriors could easily take that game six and force a game seven. The Timberwolves definitely don't want to see. So I'm going to go either Wolves in five or Warriors in seven because that's a pick that you're definitely allowed to make.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah, my pick, I'm not going to give a pick for the whole series, but I am going to give what I think is going to happen. I think that we're going to head to game five, 2-2. I think each team will win one game on the road.
Yep.
And I think that the key to the series, honestly, is Rudy Gobert. I think that, frankly, Anthony Edwards, he's going to get his, sure, but Gobert's the one that can really kill you. If he gets massive amounts of rebounds, I think they should honestly face guard when they're boxing him out.
Take him out. The series we just had,
Exactly.
Steven Adams destroyed them. You've got to think about how you're going to neutralize Gobert.
And they won game seven, frankly. I told you this. Draymond's performance in that game was unbelievable because he was jumping at every rebound. So they had two and three rebounders per rebound. It was unbelievable.
I agree that it's going to be tied 2-2. I do think both teams steal one on the road. And I think the Warriors are going to win in six. That is my final thought. And by the way, I always like this little fun factoid when we were talking about Julius Randle. One of four players still active in the NBA that were teammates with Kobe Bryant. R.I.P. So there you go.
Can I ask you guys a question?
D'Angelo Russell, Jordan Clarkson, Larry Nance Jr., the other ones. Yes.
The Charles Barkley 94s. Do you know what those are? These shoes here.
Those are sick.
My cousin is obsessed with Charles Barkley from back in the day. That was a favorite player,
right.
JP Money.
Are they back?
He just caught multiple pairs of these shoes. Are we in or out on them?
Well,
the CBs.
This is great for radio. But yeah, yeah, I'm in on
you
those.
You in on those?
Is that $700?
No, $170.
Okay, never mind. Right,
CBs? The CB 94s? You guys don't even know the Charles. Dude, these Charles Barkley.
We were born
so
like in 93.
The air bubble.
Like, what are you? Yes.
The air bubble.
We know who Charles
so
Barkley is.
Yes, thank you. That was Fast Five brought to you by Xfinity at home.
Man,
or on the go, you'll get the fastest internet to all your devices. Steiny and Goon next, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Game one tonight, right here at 95.7 The Game. Warriors, T-Wolves, 6:30. Warriors live at 5:30. Don't miss it.